I'd like to thank all of you again for coming this evening. So I've been thinking about Doug this week, Doug Morrison, for those that aren't familiar. He passed away just a week and a half ago, and he came here and before that to the Little Hall in Springfield for probably 55 years or a little more. Excuse me. And I was thinking how so often he preached faithfully in the gospel, and he would speak of a time when, and a place where, and a matter how, he came to know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. And for anyone here in this meeting tonight that's saved, we've all had a time when, we've had a place where, and there was a way we got saved. And maybe you don't remember it on the calendar, but you can go back to a point in your mind, and you know that's when you trusted the Savior. It's not a process. Our Christian life after we get saved is a process, but salvation is a specific time when a person comes to trust the Savior. And I'm going to look at a story from the Bible, not just a story, something that actually happened, to explain that tonight. We'll turn to Luke chapter 23. And we would all remember very vividly Doug telling his story. He would say, I was a good living person, never smoked a pack of cigarettes, and never took the Lord's name in vain, and paid 100 cents on the dollar, and never drank. But he would say, I was down in the lower field fixing the fence. And he was 20 or 20, 21, I don't remember. And Foster Hurley High had been speaking to him much about the gospel, and that verse came to him. John 3 and 18, and I'll just turn there quick, I'm sorry. The words are slipping my memory. John 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And he realized right there that he was condemned already. And then he realized from the first part of the verse, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus, he that believeth on him is not condemned. And that was his story of salvation. That was his matter how. So tonight we're going to read in Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So this is part of the story of the crucifixion. When I think everyone here has heard the gospel many times, we know about the Lord Jesus at Calvary. He went there to suffer for our sins, and there was two men crucified with him, two other criminals. So obviously they had done some horrendous crimes for to be suffering crucifixion, because that was only reserved for the worst of criminals. And these men hanging here, one of them was making fun of the Lord Jesus, saying, if you're really Christ, if you're really God, save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him and said, Do you not fear God, seeing we're in the same position? Yeah, he's on the cross, but look, we are too on either side of him. We're in the same condemnation as him. And he said, We indeed justly. We receive the due reward of our deeds, or we're getting exactly what we deserve. We're criminals. This is what we asked for. We're hanging on the cross because of what we done, because of what I done. But this man, the Lord Jesus, hanging on the center cross, he's done nothing wrong. And then, simply, this man, he was a criminal, he was hanging on a cross, he was living his last day on earth, probably the last day. Sometimes maybe they lasted for a couple days. But to him, all hope was gone. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I guess that answers what I just said. Because he was going to die that day. So this man, do you think he managed to turn his life around, turn over a new leaf, as some people would say, and manage to live better? No, absolutely not. You say that's foolishness. He was living his last day, hanging on a cross, suffering for crimes that he did. So this man had a time when it was the day the Lord Jesus was crucified, which probably was about AD 30, and it was late morning, because the sixth hour, that was noon, and a place where he was on the hill called Calvary, and he had a matter how. He simply realized, I'm here on this cross suffering for my own sin. And any one of us here tonight, everyone, we all should have been hanging on a cross, suffering for our own sin. But the Lord Jesus suffered for us. So this man, his matter how he got saved, he simply realized that he was hanging on the cross, suffering for his own sin. And yet, even then, suffering for his own sin, he was going to end up in that place called hell in the lake of fire. And he realized that the Lord Jesus was there for his sin. We know that he believed who the Lord Jesus was, because he said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He acknowledged the Lord Jesus as Lord. So he realized that what the Lord Jesus was doing on Calvary was for him and for his sins. And we know that he went to heaven, and that's where he is tonight, in heaven. Maybe talking to Doug or Timmy. Nice to think things like that. Because the Lord Jesus said unto him, Verily, or truly, I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise or heaven. So that man had a time when, and a place where, and a matter how he came to trust the Savior. Salvation is not a process. It's not a matter of coming to so many gospel meetings or believing till you turn blue or purple or whatever, believing and believing and believing until you believe enough. It's not a matter of how we believe or how much we read our Bible or how much church we go to or how much good we do for a neighbor or the community. It's about simply resting in what the Lord Jesus has done at Calvary. You all come in here tonight, every one of you is sitting on a chair. And I don't imagine anybody, before they sat down, they picked up the chair and flipped it over and looked at the legs and looked at the welds and thought about whether it would hold them. You just sat in it. And that's salvation is just that simple. You just sat in a chair and rested. You didn't try and somewhat squat and hold yourself up, wondering if it was going to hold you. You just sat on it. And that's just like salvation. You just have to rest in what the Lord Jesus done. This man, this criminal on the cross, that's all he did. He just rested in what the Lord Jesus done. Just like Doug did on the 21st day of June, 1968. I think it's exactly how he would say it. He just rested on what the Lord Jesus did. And he's in heaven tonight, not because of anything he done, but because of what the Lord Jesus done. And I'm going to turn over as well to 1 John chapter 1. If you're wondering tonight if you can know for sure you're saved, here's a verse that will take away all doubt. 1 John chapter 5, I'm not sure what chapter I said, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Doug often would talk about hath, too. Even I remember him speaking on that verse 12. He that hath the Son, he would say hath. Present possession. Something you get when you get saved. It's not something you're trying to attain to or trying to work towards. It's a present possession when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And no one can take it from you. And with that, we'll turn over and read a couple more verses. Assurance of salvation, knowing for sure you're saved, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. John chapter 10. Maybe that's what's holding you back tonight. Are you worried that you'll lose your salvation? Are you worried that God won't keep you? That's foolishness. Because this Bible confirms to us 100% that once we're saved, always saved. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm just going to quickly tell a little bit about how I got saved as well. I know most here have probably heard it, but that's fine. I grew up in a Christian home as well, and went to the little gospel hall down the road here from when I was very youngest, and went there to all the meetings, to breaking the bread and Sunday school and gospel meeting and Tuesday night Bible study. And my parents faithfully took us to any gospel meetings that were within usually 20 or 30 minutes from home. And I'm very thankful for that. Sometimes when I was young, I didn't appreciate it. Sometimes in the summers, I get tired of going to meetings every night. But if you're saved and you're older, I know you'll appreciate that and be very thankful for it, because hearing the gospel is the best thing you can ever hear. Gospel means good news, and it's the best news for sinners who are on their way to hell. So I went to meetings often in Sunday school, and many people, you know, may think, well, you know, he's growing up in a good home and he's going to church all the time. He's going to get to heaven when he dies. But going to church or anything like that has nothing to do with getting to heaven. Getting to heaven is all about having a time when and a place where and a matter how you come to trust the Savior. And I was a sinner. I knew when I was very young, I used to lie to my parents, and I was mean to my brother, Timmy. I regret that now, but anyway, that's in the past, thankfully. And something that was preached about a lot when I was young was the coming of the Lord, the rapture, like we were hearing about a few minutes ago. And I used to think the same thing when I was young as Ian, that, you know, if I was with my parents at night, which I never was anyway, but I thought, oh, I'll just go up with them, but that's foolishness. And that would bother me, the coming of the Lord, because I knew if the Lord came, I would be in hell. I never thought about dying when I was really young, but I knew that if the Lord came, that was it. There was no more hope for me. And I remember different times I'd be up late at night, and Mom and Dad would tell me different stories from the Bible and try to explain it. I'm thankful for that. Then one night, it was a Sunday evening. We used to get Sunday school papers called The Messages of God's Love. And I had this paper, and I wanted to read it in gospel meeting, But Mom and Dad wouldn't let me, which was fine. I don't remember anything that was spoken on in gospel meeting, but I was reading that paper after the meeting, laying in bed. And it had a story of a little boy, and he stole some unsweetened chocolate cocoa from his mother. He didn't realize exactly what it was. He thought he was going to have just like a big hunk of sweet chocolate. And he stole it when she wasn't looking. She was doing some baking in the kitchen. And he took it out to his favorite tree or something in the yard. And he started eating it. And at first he thought, not too bad. And then he realized it's pretty bitter. And that's just like sin. Sin, there's pleasures in it for a season, but it doesn't last very long. And then it's just bitter. We all know what sin does. Just destroys lives and destroys relationships. Destroys marriages. It gets you in trouble with the law and with teacher at school, perhaps, and your parents. Anyway, that boy, he obviously didn't eat it all because he didn't like it. So he hid it, and his mother asked him later if he had taken it, and he denied and said no. And then she found it, and she confronted him. And in the story, they had that verse, Numbers 32 and 23, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And I realized right there and then that all of my sin, I was just a boy of 8. You might think, yeah, you know, 8-year-old hasn't committed that much sin. But I knew I had committed a lot of sin. And God was writing all of it down, every sin. Every thought, every deed, everything I had said, mean to my brother or sister or brothers, every lie I had told, God was writing it all down in a book. And he has a book for every person. And if you don't trust the Savior, on the day of judgment, we see the judgment of the great white throne, those books will be opened. And for those that don't trust the Savior, he'll show you from the book why he's sending you to hell. It's solemn, friend. You won't be able to argue with him. Anyway, I had that verse there, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And I realized simply right there and then that God knows all of my sin, and that's why I'm going to hell. And there's nothing I can do about it. I can't save myself. And then in the story, they had the verse, 1 John 1 and 7. We'll turn, you don't have to turn to it. I'll just turn to it and read it. 1 John 1, verse 7. The blood of, the last part of the verse, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And right there, I just simply realized that's why the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, was to take care of all my sin that God was keeping record of in a book. It's all taken care of at Calvary. And that's all I'm resting in to get to heaven tonight. And that was December 1st, 96. And that was my time when I was just in my bedroom in the house in Milo. And that's how I come to trust the Savior. And that's all I'm resting in tonight. It's nothing I've done, none of my good works. It's all what the Lord Jesus has done. And we pray that you would come to that realization tonight. If you're still in your sins, that there's nothing you can do to save yourself. It's all what Christ has done at Calvary. He cried right before he gave up the ghost, before he died, "It is finished." The work which is necessary for salvation was complete 2,000 years ago. And he just wants you to rest in tonight. You don't have to do anything. Just rest in what he has done. And you can be saved tonight. We'll pray. Our Father, we thank thee for our Savior. We thank thee for this privilege we have to open the Word of God and to speak from it. Feeble as our words may be, we just pray that some would understand even tonight that the Lord Jesus died for them so that they wouldn't have to go to hell. We just would pray that someone would be saved even tonight. We thank thee for our Savior and his love for us in his name. Amen.